What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm your sober alcoholic loser mom with my water, but I love it when people drink.
Welcome, fellow lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
She could take a 2-liter bottle of Coke. I would just put a Mento in there. Anyway, welcome back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard. Explosion.
Did you ever do that with Mentos and Coke? Diet Coke or whatever the hell it is?
I assume it's a smaller explosion when it's Diet Coke because it's... No, I've never done it. I've just seen it happen before. Have you polluted a neighborhood?
It's all fake.
It's not.
It's all fake. It's all digitally enhanced. No, that doesn't happen. That's not real.
Let's try it. Let's do it right here, right now.
You got Mentos?
I will go get some.
Okay. I'll blow it up right here.
Okay. All right.
Prove you wrong.
We'll be back.
It's all push, pish, posh.
I know what we're doing on episode 300. Waxing our ass and blowing up Coke and Mento.
Right in our face. Put it over, drop it as you look over the bottle.
Poof. Yeah, I think if you think it's bullshit, you should have to do that.
All right, I'll do it.
And if it is bullshit and nothing happens, then I have to do some sort of punishment. And I'm fine with that. I'm down with that. We can do that.
All right.
Episode 300.
You know,
preparing for 300.
You ever do that when you're drinking bottled beer and someone hits the top and it explodes?
Yes. I hated that fucking asshole.
You love that.
You were that asshole, weren't you?
We did it to each other all the time.
So fucking stupid.
All the time.
God.
We were going to a dance club one night.
Can I open my beer first before you tell this gay dance story?
Oh, I'm going to gay dance all over your face.
That made it a lot gayer.
I sometimes don't even know what things mean. Tavern's open. We're ready to go.
All right. Thank you to our friends over there at Mosinee Brewing Company.
Mosinee.
Incredibly awesome brewery. Beautiful location.
What's that flavor there?
This is Gord's Gold. Their pumpkin beer.
Gordo.
I always love me a good pumpkin beer, so had to bring one of these home with me. And
it's a big beer.
Yeah, this is a big beer. They weren't messing around.
Stop in. You can mention our name and they will pour you one as well.
For free.
Well, the hellos and the thank yous are free.
Yes.
From them, but you mention our name and they will
give you a high five.
Yeah, they will.
I promise you, if you say Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard sent me, they will give you a high five.
Just like that.
As long as you put your hand up and say, high five.
Can you give me a high five?
They will give you a high five because they're all very nice.
Can you give me a Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard high five?
And they were, yes. And they provided us with a beautiful abundance of beverages.
Look at all that.
And we will go over them as we drink them on the podcast. There are so many to even start to name. But tonight I got the Gord's Gold pumpkin beer. Can't wait.
Let's go, Gordo. What do you got?
Cheers. Thank you. Mosinee Brewing Company. That's delicious. Very, very good. You got your small glass?
No.
Well, then you don't get any. Told you don't get any unless you have a small glass. So. I don't know how I'm going to keep my hands on both of them, but I will. I'll figure this out.
You're going to have to.
Put that there. We'll put that there. I'm double fisting it for the rest of the episode. Don't even fucking think about trying to take my beer. There was a glass sitting over here. Where'd you put it?
Maybe I'll get there. Back to our sponsors from the Great Lake Distillery down in Milwaukee. As you see with our cocktail drinks, I did mix it up a bit. I used their holiday gin, and then I threw in some of their yummy cranberry liqueur from the good land. 2 to 1. Then I added a splash of lime and a little bit of squirt. It's called the Kevin concoction.
That's what it's... You're going to have to work on that. That might be the worst name I've ever heard for a drink.
But that's a delicious drink.
Well, that's good, because the name's not holding it up, so...
No, it's not really. It's a cranberry concoction.
No, concoction is a terrible word.
It's a great word.
Why?
It's a great word.
Why is it a great word?
It's a neat word.
Okay, I thought I was missing something here. I thought it was for the Great Lakes marketing, and I'm shitting all
You're over. Missing the boat?
Yeah, like you're looking at me like, no, it's on the bottle. Thank God. I knew they weren't that dumb. You're that dumb.
That's all I mean. That's fine. But that's very good.
Concoction.
I will make that again.
Concoction.
Cranberry concoction. I'm really liking that Holiday gin. Big fan of gin.
Is us saying concoction over and over again better than fuck you, fuck you, fuck you? Just ask my Reddit friends again.
They will tell you different. They will tell you to back off from those words.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do?
I don't want to entertain people who find swearing bad because I don't really have anything other than swearing and perverted words. And
swearing comes from the soul. Comes deep from the deep down in your soul, and it comes out the true meaning
of Christmas.
Well, sometimes Christmas, sometimes
we got anybody Thanksgiving. Else to thank? Oh, it's Thanksgiving.
That's right. So that's why I thought you were going with it. With who else do we have to thank? We have to thank our good friends for giving us a plethora of boozy stuff.
I think we're gonna have to start writing scripts, dude. Either that or we're going to have to employ some actually good editors to fucking edit out this nonsense.
Hey, fuck you, game. Will you edit our videos for us, please?
Jesus
Christ. You did a phenomenal job. Go check that out. Go check out FU_the game on Instagram and check out our clip. They did a phenomenal job putting us together. Oh, gee, there goes one episode and he was going to stop doing it. And there we are. One episode later. Boom.
I forgot. Last one. I promise.
There it is.
Last one.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll see about that.
You want to just start over? Why are we laughing so much?
You're missing a boat. You know what?
Join the Patreon. You'll see why we're laughing
and
so
when
much.
You're, on the way to Patreon, then you go to YouTube and like and subscribe there. Instagram, you can see the numbers just to climb in here. Instagram and YouTube there. You can also go to Facebook and TikTok and check out those things. And if not, Spotify and all the podcast places to listen to it. Never keep a pretty lady waiting.
All right, so without further ado, fielding Edlow,
it's game night. What are we playing?
Uno.
Boring. Monopoly.
No way. I hate that game.
How about fu? No, fu the game.
Oh yeah, okay, that makes more sense.
Fu the game is fast, brutal, and easy to learn. No rules, no setup, just chaos.
That's right. Every round, somebody's getting screwed. Trash talk is a requirement.
Perfect for game night, parties, or pre-drinking with friends. You're not afraid to lose.
So skip the boring games
and play FU the game.
Because every game night needs a good
FU.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing
Excellent.
Tonight?
Excellent.
I'm pretty Look good. At that. Good to see you both. It's Dean and...
Dean and Kevin. Kevin,
Dean and Kevin. Dean. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for calling us our proper names because nobody ever does.
Yeah, everybody just assumes we're actually Dimples in the Beard, which we don't ever go by in real life. Nobody's ever really called us that except for one flight attendant. So,
oh my God, that's so funny. Well, maybe I have flight attendant energy, but I like real names.
So as long as we're on real names.
Thank you.
We're joined by Fielding Edlow. And I'm curious, where does Fielding come from?
Good question. So Fielding used to be Feldman. My grandfather was Ben Feldman. They changed it, or my grandmother was like, maybe let's do a little change route. And Edlow used to be Edlowitz. So if I didn't come from a long line of fear-based, self-hating Jews, you would have been like, welcome Feldman Edlowitz.
You would have had to say that one for sure.
Which I know would have been so fun for herself. You guys. What a mouthful. Sounds like she's picking like an ankle scab in like an Orthodox camera shop on Pico.
There it is. Okay.
I love the energy.
You're getting that, you know, after being with my 13-year-old unscheduled day. Yeah. I'm pepping it up for Kevin and Dean.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have a 10-year-old, so I'm right about there. She's exhausting at times, so.
I would cut off my right arm for 10. 10 was like
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That feels, I have so much look
forward. It's coming. Yeah. It's coming.
Oh my, yeah. Enjoy. You know how like those annoying losers are like, I think someone just wrote it on my Facebook wall. I wanted to be like, shut the fuck up. She's like, treasure every moment. Relish it. Goes by so quickly. I'm like, do you want to come over here? And like, my bathroom looks like a Sephora exploded and I'm with like a French prostitute walking around every day. Like, you come over here.
Yeah.
I laugh because I went through it all. My youngest is 22. So I'm over it and I'm just watching him go through it as we live our lives.
But boys are, I think, easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a girl. He had girl. Well, he has a boy as well.
A boy and two girls, yeah. Boys are much easier.
Oh, never mind. You're the hero. Three. My God. I have one and, you know, not a full-time job, but I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I hear you. I get every other week off and I still
exhausted. It's exhausting. Well, especially when you have one. Like, I've been her playmate. I'm like her adult playmate. Like, I'm now wonderful at volleyball. Like, is this what I want for myself? Like, just to be great at volleyball?
Well, maybe they'll ask you to join the team. You never know.
I actually, it might be good for me.
You could be a volleyball coach at least.
I know. I don't know about a coach, but like I could do snacks and maybe be like, there's something called a libero where they wear the like different shirt than everyone else on the team.
Right.
Like, I always want to be special. So I'm like, I'll be the libero with the different shirt.
That's me. Yeah. I'll stand out.
Yeah, just so please, you do. Choose me. Let me stand out. Choose me.
So do you have any other hobbies besides just entertaining your daughter and comedy?
You know, I have been thinking about hobbies recently. I do. I mean, I do the like sort of, you know, take walks, do yoga. Like, I have a cat puzzle I've been wanting to do since the pandemic. I'm going to do it. I'll report back.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. Okay. This is so sad, but I love stickers. So
stickers.
I put stickers on envelopes. I have albums and I go to Sticker Planet in the Grove. And
okay.
I just geek out in stickers. Wait, where are you guys located again?
We're in Wisconsin.
Oh my God. That's fun. Are you near Racine?
About 2 hours away. My daughter actually just moved to Racine about 8 months ago.
I know Racine because I worked for a year when I was like, am I going to be an actress when I was not invited back to Neighborhood Playhouse? And I'm like, so I worked for Golden Books Entertainment and their children's book division was in Racine. So I would talk to like their accent was so adorable.
What accent? I don't get an accent.
I don't think we have one.
It's so, it's just, they're just like, you know, everyone's like not a, I can curse on this, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And you already have. But yeah, keep going.
I know. I'm like, I'm sure I've dropped like the F-bomb into it. No, I mean, just everyone like between you realize like not everyone's a cunt. Like everyone in the Midwest is so nice, you know, like not
you know,
like
it's
us.
It's funny to hear people from other places say that because I definitely know a lot of cunts. So I'm just going to say
Think there's a specific LA superficial vapid cunt and then out fucking cunt in New York, which I don't mind those. Like, I'd almost prefer the New York than the LA.
Oh, yeah. At least they're real.
It's your version of a Wisconsin cunt.
Ours are more backstabby and gossipy and, you know, drama loving, that kind of cunt.
Okay. But I feel like they're still adorable. Let me.
Yeah.
Here's your alarm to start the podcast.
Have we started? Because I'm giving you all my best stuff.
Well, then we better start. We should start recording.
Yes, we're always recording. You don't want to miss the gold, right?
It's always, I feel like the best stuff is right in the beginning. Like,
what's
after
that?
16 years of therapy in my 12-step programs, I still, like, when I feel pressure, I just dissolve into, like, a puddle. But when there's no stress, I'm like, look, I'm Jenny Slate.
Jenny Slate. We just watched, my daughter loves that Marcel the Shell with shoes on. And Jenny Slate has something to do with that. So,
I don't know funny. That. What is that?
It's like a little stop motion animation thing.
Okay.
It's about a little shell, and it started as like a YouTube thing, and then it got picked up. A24 did a full length feature film. So,
maybe I'll have my daughter, because like you have something to look forward to, because my daughter's watching Euphoria secretly.
Oh no!
Sounds like good family fare.
Oh no!
I won't even watch that because I feel I'm too young.
It's my horrible. Pearls. I feel like I need a personality colonic after I see 1 minute. I'm like, this is horrible.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I also feel like that now the cartoons now and the children's shows now are horrible. I'm so glad I got the ones I got back 20 years ago.
I feel like we had great ones. I feel like I watched Scooby-Doo and Richie Rich on Saturday morning and the Jetsons.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, Saturday morning used to be a foundation. I mean, that was just like Saturday morning cartoons. It was amazing.
Wasn't I just it saw such something a thing, like I'd watch it with my brother. It was sort of like Thursday night NBC. I don't know if you guys dipped into that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. But I just heard something about the Jetsons. How George married, like Judy was 16 when they got married and he was like 28.
What?
They're if you do the math, when they during the song,
I don't know, really?
Like their ages today, if you go backwards, he's like,
oh my God, I love your like deep dive. You're mathematician.
Oh, yeah.
Their ages. You're like,
into the cartoons, I deep dive.
Fielding, don't go tell that to other people. I think he's making that up.
Look it up. Everybody in the world.
That's an amazing, that's like he was pulling a Seinfeld or like that weird director. That's amazing that George Jetson's like, I want the teenage pussy.
He had a flying car. I mean,
he got it. That's how he got it.
He should get any girl he wants. And you know what? I can get behind that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, back in the day, not the muscle car. You had the flying car.
Right.
You have a plan. What are you, by the way, I love your setup.
Thank you.
What are you, I want to know what you guys are drinking right now.
I am drinking a pumpkin beer from Mosinee Brewing Company. So they're a brewery a couple hours from us.
And then from our sponsor, our Great Lake Distillery, I have some holiday gin and I mix it with some cranberry liqueur and a little squirt and lime and mix up a little holiday drink.
Oh my God, it looks so festive. This is wonderful. Hi, I'm your sober alcoholic user mom with my water, but I love it when people drink.
Well, we could be best friends then, because we've had people tell us, you guys have figured out a way to get paid to drink. And we're, kind of. You're like, not necessarily paid, but we've had people give us free alcohol, and that's kind of the same thing as getting paid. Well,
That's basically you're getting that. That's amazing. Yeah. I just think it's a really beautiful setup and very festive.
Thank you. So, yeah. So sober. So do you like hanging out with drunk people because it gives you material?
I actually was. It's funny. I'm doing a set at a CBD store in Santa Barbara on Saturday.
Okay.
I'm sort of an irreverent sober person. It's been a really long time. Maybe my first couple months or my first year, I felt like, okay, I have to be a little bit careful. But honestly, I love people having a good time. I've always been drawn to like coke addicts and alcoholics. I always want to make sure I have a few coke addict friends because it's just fun.
Okay.
It gives me, I had this bit once. I didn't totally develop it, but it was like my biggest resentment is like drunk, successful friends. Because I'm like, how do you do it? I feel like I'm sober. I'm like plodding along. You're like, Fielding, let me grab a purse for the Emmys. And can you be my like sober designated driver? And like, I won't even cast you as the sober companion, you know? And it's like, how do they do it?
I don't know. In the Midwest, that's all we do is drink. So
I know.
A lot of professionals that drink every night.
Oh, yeah.
And then they, lawyers and doctors and you name it.
It's attractive. Yeah. I feel I spent some time in Edinburgh and London, you know, with my show, and they just everyone drinks, and everyone like hosts in this like not like I'm a like one IPA away from getting my stomach pumped. It's like they know how to handle it, you know. They're just like professional too, and they're just like they look at me like I'm an alien,
right?
Yeah,
that's how I think I am. With
like
weed.
I'm one of you. Like I just ran out of drink. I ran out of red tickets.
I think you could get more if you really wanted to. I'm sure somebody would.
I mean, sure somebody would give it. My husband, who's 10 years older than me, used to be like, I think I'm going to drink when I'm 60. And I'd be like, that's like next year. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he's like, and then I'd be like, I want an open marriage, but just for me.
Just for
me. So I think is it safe to say we love your husband?
You do. The person or the term?
No, the term actually is funny because my daughter came up with that term one day, and then I heard you use it, and I was like, I had never heard it before, but my daughter called my wife's ex-husband her husband, and I was like, I'd never heard that word before, and then I heard you say it.
Oh, your daughter must be so clever, because I got that from like a random woman on my 12-step Zoom meeting and I was like, oh my God. And like, can I use that? And she's like, yeah. But like, yeah. Most people have not heard of it and think it's like the most genius thing.
Right. It is the first time you hear it.
Yeah. So either my daughter is a genius or she's on her way to being an addict, one or the other. Let's hope it's the genius.
Or maybe a therapist.
I think she's a genius. I think she's going to have I'm kind of psychic. I think she's going to have a few like man issues, but it'll get worked out. And eventually, she's fine. She's good.
Well, you do talk about being a little psychic, and to be fair, every woman has man issues.
Okay,
some,
you know,
just
what?
Continue it's to bring the, it like, on themselves.
Not,
more.
You're not doing the pumpkin brew. You're doing the other one. Okay, fine. No, I'm pretty psychic. Ask me a question. I can take tarot cards.
And so, yes, do you do things like that?
Tarot
cards and everything?
It's funny. My friend Amy told me she was just up for a roll on the pit, and we were out to dinner, and I was like, I have a good feeling about this. Like, I think you're going to book it. And then she texted me the next day. She's like, no, you're not a witch. And I didn't book it. And fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, she's pissed. But I think it's because I wasn't like,
have said anything.
She was so mad because I really was like, so like supercilious and snobby. I was like, I have a good feeling about this. Like, you're going to be the new nurse. But if I don't know. Like, I've been in a show and I've looked at someone and I'm like, your name's Jordan. And he's like, yes. So I have had moments like that. I do read tarot cards. I'm new at it. I'm new.
Okay.
I'm a little untested.
Okay. We had a reading like 3 years ago.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd that go? Did you find out anything that rang true or anything that, you know, resonated?
That's a great question. I'm trying.
Do you remember any of it? No.
Do you remember? No, were you totally hot? Were you just plastered and it was a dare?
No, it was like somebody we've had on the podcast a couple of times and she does them. So we're like, screw it, let's do it just for something fun. And she wouldn't do them like on, she wouldn't let us record them and put them out, but she said we could share the content or share the
results.
Does it,
yeah. I mean, it was really good. I mean, part of it was, I remember things were coming true and it was, and a lot of it was, I enjoyed doing it. She was great at it. So you're going to get into that, you think, a little bit?
I'll do it. Listen, I'll do it for you guys in like February when I have a little more experience under my belt and it'll be a freebie and just bring some questions. We'll bang it out.
I love it.
All right. So how do you prepare yourself to do that? Are you taking a class or are you just learning it on your own?
I'm not. Like, I mean, I'll say this.
Tarot cards for dummies.
You're not learning it on your own or taking a class.
I think a lot of Jewish women are witches, like inside. I've done a lot of work on myself, like a lot of work. So I feel like with that, and just things have come to me that did turn out true. And it just kind of came to me. And then I have like a tarot card desk now. And I did someone's cards and now he wants to see me every week and I wasn't even inviting it. So I feel like it's coming to me and I just really enjoy it. And I seem to have a knack for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. I think it's going to be fun. I think you'll have as you go along.
Random answer. Like, they're like, have you taken a workshop or a class? It's like all these bitches in LA who are like, I'm a life coach. And I can also do Reiki on your dog. And here I am.
Yep, there you go.
Right? Do you guys cover us the swath of America, or are your guests, do they just, they come from all over, or just New York?
Yeah, we
all over. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a lot of Texas, a lot of comedians from down in Texas and some New York, some California. Yeah.
Have you noticed that everyone scampered off to move to Austin and Portland, like secretly in the pandemic?
Oh yeah. Austin for sure. Yeah.
Exploded.
Right. But like, people don't tell you, like, are they slinking away in shame? Like, people don't tell you when they're moving. I feel like they're like, oh, I relocated.
Yeah, it felt like Austin was the cool thing to do for a little while, and now it's definitely slowed down. I mean, it seems like all the young comedians are going down there for Kill Tony, but I mean, it seems like the mass flux has kind of slowed down a little bit, but.
I think it slowed down. And did you guys see the thing that happened with Jeff Dye?
No, I didn't. I heard a headline or something, but I don't know what happened.
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know a whole lot, but I found it hysterical. So he's a very particularly, I actually think he's pretty funny, bro-y comic. I saw him when I was hosting the improv in the main room. And the only reason he hit on me is because he had this whole bit about his favorite women are moms because they always have snacks on them and he loves visits. So I went up to him like, I'm a fresh divorcee with snacks.
Wait, it sounds like you hit on him. Yeah.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. And I don't think anything happened because I was too scared. I was just like, it was like so new.
It's her story. So you can tell it any way she wants.
But if we clip this just right, we create a love connection. I'm going to be left.
I think he like saddled up next to me. But then like, you know, this is where like being sober doesn't help. Like, I feel like if I had had a drink, like maybe I would have gone to the bathroom. And like, but I don't. So I guess that's good to be sober. But
did you have snacks on you?
I did. Oh, I never not have snacks and stickers. Like, I always have like Cheez-Its and a puffy sticker.
Perfect.
I know your listeners are just on the edge of their seat for this.
I hope the note that you wrote down earlier was make sure we send her a sticker with a shirt.
Multiple stickers.
My heart. Yes. Wisconsin. I'm gonna open up a little sticker shop, a karaoke strip club in Racine.
Great, my daughter will start working there. What? Damn it.
Wait,
wanted, like, why can't we have a strip club bakery? Like boobs and like fresh brioche, you know?
I would never leave. Those are bread and boobs. Yeah, right? That's I can't.
Wouldn't that do so well?
It would here.
I would say 20 years
ago. About that.
I went to Florida and driving in, the billboard was a huge topless cafe. So we went and had lunch. And they were naked. I think they were all completely naked, serving us lunch.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Completely naked is aggressive for lunch.
It's aggressive. It's aggressive. When you're like, I want a turkey club, maybe don't need snatch in my face, but like boop. Okay.
Yeah. I don't.
That is aggressive. It's aggressive. It's
cold the mail. Anyways,
I don't consider myself a germ phobe, but I don't know. That don't just.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that only happens in the south of France, like towards the end of August in like the tropics. So you're just like, okay, oh my God.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Jeff, so from what I can recall, he, as a joke, did a Kickstarter or like a GoFundMe to help Jeff move to Austin. Like, fund my trip to Austin.
Okay.
And he caught, like, he enraged not just like comedians, like the entire internet, like turned against Jeff Dye. Like it was just like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, kids are starving. Like, I hope Jeff, can I raise, do a GoFundMe for him to just never come back? Like, that would be a good, like people lost their minds for, I guess, a variety of reasons. And then they're like, he's the worst. He's not D'Elia, Chris D'Elia bad, but he's the worst. and then someone else would be like, if someone is saying, like, the best thing they can say is you're not D'Elia bad, like, you should take a fucking look at yourself. And then my favorite was Guy Branum is hysterical. And he, oh my God, let me try not to butcher this. He said, if you're a moderately attractive straight white male who hasn't booked a pilot in 15 years, you should leave.
Wow. That's
and I was like, that's like, and like, I have such a love-hate relationship with social media, but it's like those kind of things make me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. If the comments get it right.
Well, right? To be fair, he's used to fighting with the internet.
Right. Already. That's true. That's true.
You know,
but yeah, if you want, I mean, if you're interested, it was, if you Google some of the best stuff, I mean, people were coming up with some like fucking genius comments about, and I wonder if he's moved yet. I don't know.
Well, it depends on how much money he's gotten.
Oh, no. So then he took it down and he was like, guys, I didn't think this was going to piss off the entire internet. I did it as a joke, you know, and you're right. And then we're all like, well, what does Jeff Dye make? Like, why does he need $15,000 to move to Austin? Like, what's going on?
I can see him doing it as a joke, though. I can.
I guess so. I think that because, like, I don't know about you, I definitely, because of like the state of our world and the healthcare system and community, like, I definitely get a lot of medical GoFundMe requests and just a lot of GoFundMe. So I think, I don't know, it just really made people upset.
Yeah. If it was a joke, it didn't work.
And then I'm so codependent. I'm like, oh my God, like, I feel so bad for Jeff Dye. Like,
Well, I just want to know, am I going to get my money back? Or does he keep it?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I refunded everybody's money. I took it down.
I got my $2 back. Yes.
Yeah.
That's funny. I think he was just the guest on today's Kill Tony, actually. So.
Oh, really?
I think so.
So then he moved. He's moved.
Well, he was there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he's like, he was fine. Like, I found him funny. Like, you know, and then I ran away, I guess, after aggressively hitting on him at the bar with my snacks and
pushing your snacks on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, here, do you want my Nutter Butters? Do you want my Himalayan salted popcorn? Then we can be dehydrated together.
I'm going to write these down. Those are good. Those are good lines you're using there.
Right? Yeah. Feel free to, you know, for Halloween or if you want to just use
them for yourself. Yeah.
I'm going to go up to some ladies. I got snacks. I got snacks.
I don't think it works on ladies.
They're out in my van. You want to come out and get some snacks in my van?
I think at this point, don't you think anything random is intriguing? Like, people are so bored by small talk. Like, I think if you say anything random, I was sort of texting with this. He's not like romantically, but he's like living off the grid. So, and it's sort of backfired. So he's in like the Joshua Tree. So I just wrote him, you guys saw 127 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, I'm not saying this is great, but this was my opener text today. I was like, did you start a fire with your bare hands today and then cut off your own arm to avoid an avalanche? And he goes, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I just woke up. that's where I am with men. That's okay. Where I am.
It's all aggressive hitting on.
And then like an hour later, I like didn't respond because I was legitimately busy because I'm a mother and it's vacation. So I legitimately didn't. And then an hour later, he goes, oh, I do get your movie reference now. Good one.
Well, he took the time to Google it. He wanted to
be like, what the fuck is she talking about?
You think he Googled it? You think he Googled it?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's like, I like you. I like her enough. I'm going to figure out what this is.
But here's the good news. I just went back into therapy. I have enough self-esteem where I was unbothered. I didn't really care if he got it or not.
Look at you. Okay.
Very healthy for me. I'm like, because I was like, okay, this is going to be random, but I have to be completely myself with men. Otherwise, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah,
it would absolutely 100%. You got to do that, right?
Right.
If you're not at this age, it doesn't matter. It doesn't pay anymore to fake it.
And if you don't get that, I'm like, part of the reason I stayed with my husband so long, besides that we have a child in a barely watched web series, was because
I watched it.
We watched it.
You guys are the best. Thank you. But it just
watched our, it and loved it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was fun. I mean, we had great guest stars in the second season, but it was like our weird fit perfectly together. Like our weird was like perfect in like this lock and key thing. So it's like, if you don't get my weird, you're weird, let's find out right away.
Absolutely.
But I am wondering, and obviously I think at the time of research, it's now, yep, you're not together, but it was, you guys were pretty mean to each other during the tapings of those things. And I'm going,
yes.
They're still married at the time. Researching you going, does that affect after you record bashing each other when you go home? Did it at all at the time?
You know, it's interesting. Not for the actual web series, but for the snack vlog, we would sometimes get into terrible fights after the, I don't know, we have this ancillary snack vlog. God, is the theme snacks today? Am I hungry? Is my eating disorder back? But I think for there is a breakup scene, and I was really mean around there was a breakup scene in the second season, and even the crew, like the crew came up to us and was like, God, that was really real. It kind of reminded me of my parents. Like, I'm a little shooken up by it. Like, we shook up the crew. Which was a compliment.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Larry took that as a compliment. But, you know, I think that we fell in love, and I hate, oh my God, so cheesy saying it. It's like acting. We fell in love doing a play. We respect each other's acting. And like, we loved acting with each other. So I think it was like, it never got too like much, if that's what you're asking. I think in our real life, we said the worst things we've ever said, like to each other, like all the time. And then at some point it adds up.
Right. So you turn the camera on and things got softer and gentler.
Yes. Yes. And one thing also, cause he would like, if Larry feels like he's being filmed, he's got hair and makeup, you know, it's going to put a little spring in his step, you know, it's like, he just wants to be fed and, you know, put the camera on him. He does well.
He is a very, very funny comedic actor. Like
did he have the makeup artist come to him on the couch to put the makeup on, or would he go to the makeup table?
That's a really good question. I think that he always appreciated someone dusting off shine or just taking off the shine.
Okay.
You know, he's a pro. I mean, he does best on stage and like in front of a camera. Like he just does, you know, and he'll look at the whole thing. He'll give, I mean, unfortunately, like he's giving director's notes and they'll take it. Like he told me he did a Grey's Anatomy and he literally walked up to the director and was like, I think the blocking's off and this is how I would do it.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
That's Larry. Like that's the guy I fell in love with. And like they took the note, like a Broadway director did not. But the TV guy did.
He didn't like it so much.
Yeah, the Broadway director's okay. Like, yeah. How many Broadway shows have you directed, Larry? Yeah, I got this.
Okay.
But, so yeah, I'm guessing there's...
Very... What's that?
I was going to say, I'm guessing there's probably not a chance, but... You know, like a season three of Bitter Homes and Bitter Two Homes and Gardens, you know, something like that. I just, now that you two are actually divorced, is there any talk of possibly continuing it?
Well, it's funny because my next door neighbor is a manager and producer, and I was like taking out the garbage one day. I mean, she saw it because we shot here, like next to her. And she's like, what's going on? Like, it's a crime that it never made it on the air. There's so many fucking like, like couple comedies. It's like, what the fuck? So I wrote, it's a great question. So I wrote a pilot with me asking for divorce at the end. I wrote the pilot.
Okay.
And she pitched it and we didn't get any bites for whatever reason. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's like we spent a lot of time. We had a lot of fun. I know a lot. Like we were bounced around showrunners like before my next door neighbor. Like we had one of the friend showrunners. We had another huge showrunner. And it's like, I don't know. Like it's just going to live on. And then I don't feel like it even really caught on the internet the way we wanted it to. But what's nice is that the people that in the community, in our community, I hate that word and shoot me in the fucking face. But it's like, I feel like we got respect from people who liked it. And so we just want to entertain.
Well, what I love most about that short form content like that is they're all like 8, 7, 8, 9 minute episodes, which means they're funny from the second they start until the second they end. When you watch network sitcoms, it's a 22 minute episode with like 3 or 4 jokes that are actually funny. So your laugh per minute, you're just nonstop laughing with that stuff. It's fantastic.
Oh, well, that means so much to me. That's awesome. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I mean, it just was really, really important to us, especially like during the pandemic, that we just want to make people laugh. Like, I think our thing is we just want to invite you into our living room and not make you feel unsafe. You know, and just,
you accomplish that.
Thank you. But it's your, you know what's funny? I will say, I don't know if you guys ever watched episodes with Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
Yeah, parts of them.
We laughed out loud a lot at that one.
Yep.
You know, because obviously you have to take thing. But I remember, you know, my mentor was like, you're best in small bites. Your writing says 8 minutes. That's where you shine. 8 minutes. And I remember being like, fuck you. Like, literally fuck you. But like, he wasn't totally wrong. Like, you know, it was, he's like, are built 8 minutes.
Okay.
I'm not agreeing with, let me put it on the record. I'm not agreeing with that. That's
kinda,
not what I meant.
You kind of said it.
No.
I mean, it's hard though. It is hard to sustain something. I mean, it took me a while. I think I could do it for 22, at least. Attempt. I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's hard. That's tough.
Yeah.
But I would.
Well, then that brings me to this: was that in the back of your mind when you were starting to say, "I'm going to come out with some comedy specials, and they're going to be longer than 8 minutes"? When you had to write half hour bit, shows.
You mean? Well, I've written like a whole bunch of pilots that were just never. I sold one, based on my.
No, I'm talking just your comedy special.
Stand up, or do you mean TV?
Yeah, stand up. I'm sorry, your stand up comedy specials, which are.
So that was a ton. The only issue that was flew in the face of my perfectionism. That was just culling together like 10 years of just jokes and segmenting it and structuring it. So my friend Greg Wilson, who's a great comic and a really good friend. He helped me just structure it.
Okay.
Like Larry sobriety mom, you know, and like, so that wasn't that, you know, and for me, I don't know about you guys, but I get really overwhelmed having to just choose stuff. Like even going out and doing a set, I'm like, what am I opening with? Like, what do I want to focus on? Cause I do have a lot of material. So my next special will probably just be this one woman show I'm developing. Gaslighting is my love language. So it's basically written. So that's good.
So you've been running that. You were in New York on the East Coast running that. And now are you back in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Now I just got back. I had 2 opportunities to run it, which was really fun because it's like a New York show. I'm a New York girl. But it's a bear to do a solo show. And plus it's like, oh my God, like, going from 8 minutes to 58 minutes, you're like, let me do some cartwheels. Let me give you a lap dance. Let me come up and do a scene with me. You know, it's so like nerve wracking, but people seem to enjoy it. It's not for everyone, but it's going well.
That's cool.
Yeah. It seems like it. So I was going to ask, you know, what are the future holds for that? More, do you think you're going to record it?
Yes. I think for me right now, though, I'm such a theater girl. Like, I love the electricity and just, you know, I still have like crowd work in it. So I want to really develop it where I have a run, like in LA or London or New York, like a run, and then really work out the gremlins, as they call it in the UK.
Sure.
And then Hopefully my lawyer can get it sold, which he helped me with my first special, and just sell it to Netflix or Hulu or something.
Okay. If you had your choice, yeah. Would you record in New York?
Good question. Oh my God. So I did a set at this sort of like gay burlesque brunch club. I don't know. Called Hamburger Mary's.
That sounds fantastic.
You guys, when and if you come to LA, we're going to go to Hamburger Mary's.
All right.
They have the best lighting in the bathroom where you feel like a supermodel. I was like, my God, I'm Yiddish Salma Hayek. Like, I want to motorboat myself. I look so fucking hot.
I want to go tomorrow. I want to go now.
Come. Book it. Book the flight. Book one of my weird pilots that I match with on Hinge, who I'm like, what pilot? What airline? They're like, Spirit. Are you going to make a joke about it? I'm like, yeah, I am. But I don't
know. It's kind of the minor league of pilots, isn't it?
I feel like because I've mostly done stand-up in L.A. and I'm really comfortable here, I feel like I'd want to tape it in L.A., but I'm open. Mm. You know what I mean? I think I'm just really comfortable here. But maybe new. I don't know. I kind of have to like see where the opportunity is. But
yeah.
Right. When it comes down to it,
maybe I'm going to do it at Racine on a loading dock. Or your
there
best.
We go. I'll be there.
Where would I do it in Wisconsin?
You could do it at Comedy on State in Madison.
Okay.
That's. I mean, it seems to be one of comedians' favorite clubs.
Yeah.
We've actually got one in Apple.
Are you guys? Have you seen Jackie Cation?
No. I know the name, but no.
Yeah. Look up Jackie Cation, K-A-S-H-I-A-N. She's one of my favorite comics. She's a good friend, and she's from Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
definitely okay. Grew up, yeah. I feel like I've heard the name. But
she tours with Maria Bamford. She always opens for Maria.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if she has, but yeah, like you were, I think, starting to say, we have one 20 minutes away from us in Appleton.
Yeah.
A comedy club, Skyline, that we go to quite a bit.
I
so
want to go
check
to
that out, Skyline Comedy Cafe in Appleton.
Club now.
I
right?
love it. I want to go to Appleton. Like, I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface of America.
It's a fun city. You come to Appleton, we'll take you to. Do we get anything?
Cleo's?
Cleo's. There we go. It's a Christmas bar all year round.
All year round with
the most Christmas decorations you could ever see.
That sounds amazing.
And they make a drink called, well, never mind, you can't drink it, but they make a drink
The Dirt. I want to watch you have this Christmas Cleo drink.
Yeah, we'll drink plenty of them. Don't worry.
The drink is called a Dirty Snowball, and it's like a real boozy milkshake.
Oh, my God. That sounds like heaven. Maybe I'll have a virgin Dirty Snowball?
You could have a virgin one, yeah.
I'm sure they could whip you up one.
Yeah.
They're like, who are you? No.
What's going on? And then I'll just say, well, whatever booze you not putting in hers, put in mine.
You can have mine. And then I'll pass out Himalayan pink salt popcorn to everyone. And just
perfect. We'll want to drink more.
Exactly. And then a cheese board. Someone's going to have a cheese board.
Oh,
Wisconsin. Yes. We have cheese
everywhere.
You can't not be offered cheese everywhere you go.
Oh my God. Appleton sounds so wonderful. Oh my God. I love this. Okay. I'm going to Google Skyline. And
every gas station you walk into here, there is fresh cheese curds on the counter by the cash register. Like that's just the way we operate. Yeah. And not those breaded things. These are real cheese curds.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Yeah.
Cheese just makes you feel good.
It does.
It's just a nice little moon's boosh. I know my daughter's scarfing down some like manchego and salami. So I'm like, I can't do dinner right now. I have a podcast. Okay. So you can have cheese and salami. Okay. So stop it.
You didn't tell her what podcast did you do?
Will you let her watch this? Are you going to let her watch this?
Probably not. She doesn't deserve me.
let me rephrase that. Not your episode, like any other episodes of ours. Is what I was meaning. Is what I meant.
Please don't.
Yeah. So she's watched Bitter Homes, and now her friends somehow, because I'm like, mom, they found Bitter Homes, and they'll be like, We watched your parents. We're just confused. Like, why is your mom yelling at your dad in full hair and makeup in a dimly lit kitchen? Like, we don't understand.
Only LA kids would know that the lighting isn't great. But...
Yes, yes. Oh, no, totally. Like, and then these fucking cunt lickers are like, you're an almond mom. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking cut you. Like, I will fucking cut you. And they're not wrong. I mean, but I'm still cool. I'm like, I did coke off my own tits in the late 90s at Limelight. Like, you can shove it with almond mom.
Yeah. I definitely won't let your daughter watch now. Now we've crossed the line.
You see how I had to double down? I had to double down now. I mean, if you guys want a fan, I'll have her subscribe from her.
No, we do not want.
I'm a rabid fan.
Yeah, no.
You don't want her. You don't want her morose, downtrodden, self-obsessed energy.
Even if it was like technically okay, do you think we need teenage girl energy like in our comments? We would be getting crucified.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, they would like, hate. They would be brutal on us. That would be awesome. They'll be brutal. You all. Yeah, I mean, listen. What are you doing?
She would be so
lucky. Reddit hates
her. I mean, there would be so many spelling errors in her. I mean, I don't even know. She can spell well, like months. Like no,
well, I would be sitting here reading it, and I'd be going, I don't know what this word is. It's missing letters. What is this abbreviation? I don't know what this means.
So Riz. That's so Riz. 6767. He's the huzz. I'm shipping him. Like, I don't even understand her.
I know.
He's the huzz?
There's a boy in their grade, and they're like, Simon's the huzz. Maybe ask your kids what
I'm going to have
means.
To, yeah.
Yeah, get the intel on that.
I think it means good. I think it's good.
Sounds like it. He's a hot boy in the glass.
I thought maybe it was short for like future husband, the huzz.
It's like very like a unicorn special.
Oh,
he's the bad boy.
10 on the hot and 0 on the crazy.
He's the bad boy of the group.
Yeah.
What grade?
Like, it's like he's got it all. He's got it all.
He's got it all. He's the total package.
Jean
at 13
and an electric scooter.
Yeah, and then report back to me and tell me what what's Wisconsin huzz.
I know 6'7" is huge. We can't get away from 6'7".
Can't get away from that. But the stupidest Riz, thing. The Riz and the huzz, it has a ring to it.
Yeah, I gotta ask. I've heard the Riz for sure, but I have not heard the huzz. I will be asking tomorrow night.
No, no clue.
See what the feedback. See what the spill the tea on the huzz.
I'm guessing. I mean, we're in Wisconsin. We probably haven't. The cool shit is still on its way here, so the huzz probably hasn't made its way here yet.
It's there. Yeah, they find each other in like the child's dark web, like
right?
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
there it is.
That they do.
Okay, but now I need to know because you had mentioned you did blow coke off your boobs back in the 90s, and you mentioned how you always like to have a friend around on coke. Were you somebody's friend when you were doing coke back in the 90s?
Somebody's not saying I was a good friend when I was doing it.
Okay.
I was basically like doing coke with your boyfriend in the bathroom, like at the club, and then lying about it and then stealing your money.
Oh, just covering every base.
You just upped it there. Yeah.
Maybe not
money.
Well, or how about this? Just not like when it was my turn to pay my half of the cab, I'd be like, I don't have anything, sort of. But
my
friend Greg
I got
like, coke. Yeah, he's always like, because I it's just fun talking about coke, and my friend Greg is like, sounds like you miss coke. Like, I could call my dealer. Like, are you okay? But yeah, I mean, I did it. I mean, I wasn't like a crazy, train spotting addict, but it was like, I kind of just miss something that doesn't make you fat,
there
it is.
It just seems like 5,000 lifetimes ago. It just seems like a real. I mean, I have been sober since 97, so it's just.
Oh wow! Yeah, well, congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you, very much.
Somebody else.
I don't know if it's worth it. I'll let you know.
So is where a lot of the material, because we did both watch before when you're going to be on, but your special can't say slut, but can you say slut yet or not?
You can. I think you can. But not to like the extra woke kind of there's some. I feel like in certain neighborhoods it gets a little more precious and fragile and wokey and Gen Z-y.
Sure.
So it's like,
you know, if I want to call my daughter retarded, I have to be like, can I say a word? Is it okay? Can I just say a word? You know, and it's like, I have to, they have to have like fallen in love with me already. And, but wait, what were you just asking me about? Now I'm having a mom moment
about your special. Oh, the slut. Can't say slut.
You,
which is very, very funny. So
I used to have this joke where I was like out of nowhere, or maybe it was my timing, I don't know, but I'd be like, I used to be a hot slut, you know, and it just stopped working. You know, I think people like people, I mean, again, it could be my timing and it was so out of nowhere, and maybe it's just not that fun. Maybe it's not necessarily that funny. I mean, I had a whole thing after it. Like, these aren't just laugh lines. You know.
Right. No, you had some very clever lines after it, like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm like reinventing comedy, but you know, maybe I was expecting too big a laugh when that's not really a laugh. But I did feel them getting tight or getting worried or not. I don't know.
Getting worried.
Where's this headed?
Like they would just not be, some audiences, they don't. I mean, I think I was calling. I mean, so yeah, some people just get upset. It's like, I think I called, not, I didn't call my mom a whore, but
well,
I feel
nice.
Like
that's nice. That's nice.
So I have to call her a strumpet, you know?
Yeah. That's acceptable. The strumpet's acceptable.
Yeah. Everyone,
well, I
thinks
think if the audience is quiet, that means that all of them out there had been sluts in their days and they're all the boyfriends,
right?
Or husbands knew it. So they're all quiet.
Right? Right? I think once where I, because the improv lab is not an easy room, and I hosted my show there for many years, and it helped me be a better comic, because it's actually a really tough room, the improv lab.
Okay.
And I remember one night, it was just like, you know, they not giving it. And I was like, you know what? You guys are really good listeners. And they were like, everyone liked that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can say slut with certain people.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, it's sad that you can't on stage
at
a comedy club.
Well, I used to have this thing like, are you slut hot? Are you slut hot? Are you cute hot? Or are you like aggressive? Or there's another one like cute hot, slut hot, or like, forget the other one. Rich slut? I don't know. I don't remember. But, you know, yeah,
well,
people are fragile.
They are. But,
yes, they are.
But I mean, I love your line about that. And you're like, well, I can't say slut. So those are my friendly years.
Yes. Yes. People love friendly people. People love. I mean, you know, it's funny when I've gotten the experiment or the challenge to be clean. Like that will come up where I'll have a show where like you have to be clean. And you know what? It's really kind of wonderful because I think I probably rely on it sometimes. I mean, I am a dirty comic, but it's important. And I do like that challenge.
Okay. How many clean shows do you do?
I do about two a year, probably. Maybe less.
I would think it's gotta be harder to only do. It's gotta be harder to only do two a year. Like, it would be easier if you did a few more of them. Like, to only do two a year, like, have you slipped? Have you fucked up at a clean show and accidentally thrown in a pussy or a cunt or something?
Well, it's so funny. I was literally about to say we must all be on the same wavelength because February 20th was the last show I did before the pandemic, and it was a contest. It was a fucking clean contest in Pasadena. And that was the last show I did. And I remember being like sweating through my, like, I was like, oh my fucking God. And I wrote my list, but I just had so much fun. And I said fuck by accident, like two times, like two different times. And that my reaction was so genuine and I was so upset that I won the audience favorite award.
Nice.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Proving that nobody really wants clean comedy. That's what that proves.
Nobody wants it.
I mean, I feel like, you know, Tom Papa, Billy Gardell, Seinfeld, like that ilk of they're kind of masterful because it is a muscle to work. Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah.
No. Clean comedy, you know, like Bill Cosby.
You guys like clean comedy? Wait. I mean, how do you feel clean comedy?
It's not, it's hard to, yeah. No, I need some dirt. I need some filth. I need,
But I don't like the, some comics that they just think if I just sit up here and say the word fuck, it's funny. And that I, It's got to be placed right.
And you can tell them just trying to be like a provocateur. Like, you know, I think Eddie Pepitone's one of my favorite comedians, and, you know, and he's filthy, but he's doing it. He's also a genius, and it's coming from a smart place, his stuff. You know, it's just his, like Lewis Black, my first stand-up teacher.
I love Lewis Black.
Yes.
So that's your point. Was like my last tour. I got so sad when I saw on social media, he's like my last tour.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I don't even know if he was able to finish it. I don't know. It feels sad. Like the last tour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has been in Appleton quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's done like the PAC and stuff here. Yeah.
Okay. One of those that kick yourself when you didn't go.
Right. Yeah. I wish I'd seen him.
Who else did you look up to? Did you look up to when you were younger and today?
You know, I would say I was pretty checked out because I was drinking so much and doing so many drugs until I was 24. So I will say that. But I did always, you know, I was so self-involved. But you know, I did have, I think Marc Maron and Lewis Black and, you know, certainly Dave Chappelle and some people, I feel like Joan Rivers, I have I feel like it's a huge influence on me. Huge, huge, huge. And I remember being like,
I could see it. She was so funny.
Unapologetic.
Yes.
She's just
yes.
like a machine gun. Like she was so unapologetic. There was never an inauthentic bone, just the unapologetic part, you know? But yeah, so I'd say her, you know, Margaret Cho. And then now, you know, there's a whole, you know, I'm good friends with like Kira Sultanovich. So it's like, I love like my friends. Like I love Laura Keitlinger. I love Kira. I love Billy Dell. But Eddie Pepitone will just make me laugh in a way that, you know, and also Greg Wilson. And you know who I saw live who told this insane story, who's kind of insane, but I've never laughed that hard in my life was, I mean, he's a wreck, but Jim Jefferies, do you guys like him?
Oh, yeah.
I heard live his Mariah Carey story of performing at Mariah Carey's 40th, which is on his special.
Okay.
It was like the heart, because you know, when someone's like talking about bombing, it was like the funniest thing. Like he bombed so badly that like Warren Beatty like walked up to like Leonardo DiCaprio and goes, "What is this? Like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand."
Okay,
that's
and then he had talked about his whole conversation, how he bullshitted about that he directs, like he directs. So you know, and then I was like, you know what? I could tell more stories and maybe work a little less hard, you know, and just emulating styles and watching people.
Yeah,
he's funny. I need to watch that now.
Yeah, I do too. I haven't seen that.
Watch. I think it's his second special, and it's the story in the middle where it's Mariah Carey's 40th because it's so fucking delightful. It's just fucking delightful.
Delightful. I love it. It's delightful.
Is that so Hollywood? Like here's me, ready? Ask me about Tulsa King. Have I watched Tulsa King? I'll give you a Hollywood answer.
Hey, have you ever watched Tulsa King?
You know, I have, and I'm just really glad it was made. It's intriguing. It has intriguing energy.
So just a bullshit answer that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. And I'm like wrapping it in Hollywood. Yeah.
Love it. Exactly. Love it.
You guys are delightful. This has been so delightful. And I'm going to have my daughter watch this whole thing every night before she goes to
bed.
We're done. And write in.
Apparently she's done. She wants to be done with us right now.
Please don't let her watch like the first, at least like the first 20 episodes where we were really off. Yeah. Just... some things
she could learn from you guys. You have the way your curiosity, like my daughter's not curious, she just wants it so she can learn from your
we're not good teachers for the young. we're just not we're not no
Not when we're doing this.
No. No, my daughters just are like, really... nope, I don't need to watch that, Dad. Nope. We'll hang out. We'll go to all that. Nope, I don't need to watch your show.
Oh, yeah. No, she watched the first 6 minutes of Can't Say Slut when I was on a scooter. And she's like, is this all you do? Like, you're just on a scooter? Like, is this supposed to be like a hook? Like the scooter? Like, ooh, you're on a scooter. Middle-aged woman on a scooter. Ooh. Like, who thought that up? It's like, dude, I don't have to feed you. I don't have to get you your Skims hookery tank tops. Like, fuck off. You know?
Jesus.
I know. I got a note from my show where they were like, maybe like not start with a story where you're being so mean to your daughter because we want to like you. And maybe, and I think they might be right. But I don't
know. Maybe move on to the closer.
Yeah.
Hey, good note.
Yeah.
Good note.
There you go. Thanks, Larry.
Very good.
Giving notes.
Yeah, I'm, well. That's me.
Come to LA so I can treat you to brunch. Can I take you to Hamburger Mary's to make up for completely messing up the time zone in the last session? I can take us all to Hamburger Mary's.
Well, you don't have to take us. We will just come with you. But yes,
we would love to.
That would be fantastic. And believe me, you're not the first and you won't be the last that messes up the time zone. It happens too much.
But you know what? It's ridiculous. Yeah. But, you know, lesson learned.
What it is.
But I'm going to be taking you to Hamburger Mary's because I'm a Jew.
All right. We're going to hold you to that.
Yeah, absolutely. We keep talking. We're going to make a trip out to California, Texas. We need to start visiting people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we'll meet. Or maybe we'll meet in Austin or we'll figure it out. Or fuck it. I'm coming to Appleton.
You hear that?
I want to get the dirty snowmobile. What's it called?
Just a dirty snowball.
Small snowball.
But you could ride a snowmobile to the bar to get a snowball. Yes. Right.
Will you do me a favor and just tell them, just pitch dirty snowmobile?
Okay.
We'll do that. Yeah.
And just see what they say. See what they come up with.
Some of the best.
Just say there's this loose cannon sober weirdo who just pitched dirty snowmobile.
I think it's brilliant.
Does it have to be a virgin drink?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, good. Yeah. That should have a lot of fuel in it. I just
want to be around drunk people. The next guy I date, someone was like, does he need to be sober? And I'm like, no. Because Larry was sober. I'm like, I want him to drink. Like, someone's got to check out. Like, I want.
That's perfect.
Well, now that you bring up the next guy you date, obviously, there's going to be next time you marry. So are you going to get the boobs done for the next husband?
Well, I got a little lift. It's okay. It's better. Like, I don't want to shoot myself
already.
In the face. When I look in the mirror, it's like, yeah, I got some help. I got a little something. It's not awesome. Fine. It's better. I mean, I'm not going to show you right now. Okay.
No, I'm not asking to chill.
He is. He 100% is. He's sly like that.
It's better.
All right. All right.
Is that what you were asking?
Is that what you're asking?
If it happened?
Because you didn't want Larry to enjoy him. You wanted your next husband to enjoy him.
Correct.
See?
Larry ended up enjoying them a little bit because of just timing wise, but you know. My next husband will really be able to burrow his head in there.
Well, did you at least make Larry pay for them then?
No.
Oh,
no.
I was going to say brilliant. Make him pay for it and then walk
out.
Right. Oh, my God. That's a real mobster move. Like, you pay for them and then walk away, Larry. Walk away. They're for Murray.
You're sticking Jewish, huh?
Oh God, I hope you marry a Murray.
I know. Well, it's because I had a cat Larry before the man Larry, so now I have a cat Murray. So I'm like, great. He's gonna be named fucking Murray.
You're marrying a Murray.
Please God. There is a comic. He probably will listen to this because he's obsessed with me. There is a comic named Murray who really likes me.
Oh. Hi Murray.
I don't think
invite us to the wedding, Murray. Invite us to the wedding, Murray.
I feel like this is going to be an easy riddle to solve. I don't think there's a lot of comedians named Murray. So.
I think he had to step away because, like, I started being so mean to him because he's like, why do I do this to myself? Like, why do I keep coming back to you? Like, why do I like you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, stop it.
You know what? The minute you said that, I'm like, Murray likes that.
Yeah. Some
Murray
people
likes
like that.
To be.
Some people like that.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah,
up Murray's alley.
He just resurfaced and I don't know. Yeah. He's always like on a yacht doing comedy.
Well, we're rooting for you, Murray, because we wanted to marry a Murray now.
I think we should have Murray on and see what he says about me.
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
You'll have to give us his last name in the messages.
Will you arrange it for us? Will you put in a good word to Murray for us?
Oh, totally. No, this is like the best time I've ever had on a podcast ever.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You're a blast.
No, thank you. You guys seriously are like beyond delight. It just was like, it's when an hour flies by, it's kind of rare sometimes. And it really
True.
Well, you as well. And you came in with energy that we knew right from the get. Sometimes they take a little bit, you know, the first time you talk to somebody, but you came in with energy right off the bat and we were good to go. And so, yeah, it was fun.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, I really appreciated your words about Bitter Homes. It means so much. And I love you guys. Let's do it again. Thank you so much.
We would love to. So let everybody know where to find you, what the best places, your specials and everything.
I come over to my house. I'm available. No, I'm... fieldingedlow.com or on Instagram at fieldingedlow, and Gaslighting Is My Love Language is going to go up spring in Los Angeles, and I'll be at the Appleton at some point in February.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Can't wait.
Thank you guys, and I'm definitely going to drop Murray, and this was so fun. Thank you so much.
Awesome. I had a blast.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Night-night.
You too. Thanks, guys. Enjoy your pumpkin beer.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.